you guys can all take a seat. That was great, Will, and nothing like getting up here and being choked up immediately. if you want, I'm going to try to keep this pretty short and sweet today, but if you want to go ahead and start flipping to Psalm 46, that's where we're going to start off here. And I'm going to preface what I want to share with a little bit of this. This has probably been one of the most stressful, hardest years of my life, but it's also been one of the most rewarding, best years of my life as well. And this verse that we're going to look at here in Psalm 46, verse 10, is one that I just keep going back to and just keeps coming back to my mind every year. Or, I mean, about every day, really. And it's just throughout the entirety of the year, it's just helped me to get through a lot of stuff. And so let's just read this verse first. In verse 10 of Psalm 46, it says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth." And that's just beautiful, because there is so much that takes our mind in so many different directions in this day and time. And it only seems to just be increasingly getting worse and harder to remember to take that time and to actually be quiet and to just look to God and make time for just you and God. Because that's not what the world promotes. That's not what TV promotes in any way. It's not what anything promotes other than people that love God or just reading his word. And, you know, it's crazy. Like, the hottest commodity, I think, in this day and time just about is people's attention. It's like you have these cell phones constantly, and we have Facebook or Instagram, all these different things. And it's just really very important to take the time to remember to just make time with God. And let's read actually this whole chapter here. So verse 1 says, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea." And that's not a plug for my band, but though it is actually one of the verses we got the name from. Verse 3, "Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof," Selah, which means consider these words, "there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge," Selah. "Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow. He cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge," Selah. And we have seen a lot of things this weekend where just how mighty God is, how victorious it is to just walk with him. He's such a big God, and he loves us so much, and there's nothing that he can't do for us, you know? I mean, all that stuff throughout that entire verse is like, these are some crazy big things. It's like the earth melted by when he uttered his voice and things like that, you know? It's like, it's incredible, but that's God. That's our Father, and he wants to have a relationship with each one of us. And that word, or phrase, "be still," is the Hebrew word rapha, which means to sink down, relax, abate, or withdraw. Which is really interesting because, you know, God's telling us to just kind of let him do things sometimes. We don't always have to be like, I got to take on the world and do every single thing myself, you know. And just like, sometimes you just need to let God answer, give you the right answer, rather than you trying to just be like, I got to figure it all out, you know. And that's something I've had to really learn this last year, because there's a lot of times where there's just nothing I can do about a situation. Nothing I can do about the circumstances that have come up. And a lot of it, you know, it's like money or whatever. But you know what? That's nothing to God. He can take care of all that stuff. It's just like, come on, like, that's just like a little, okay, there you go, if when it's needed, you know? And a lot of times it's been very helpful in my growing of believing and just standing on his word and just believing it in my life to have these trying times and to understand that, like, I can't do it, but God can, you know? And to just let him supply the answer that's needed rather than me try to figure out what to do and screw it all up, which is what usually happens. Now, this also doesn't mean to just be lazy once you get an answer, too. We have to make sure we're listening to that instruction that God gives us. And it's our job to keep our eyes on God without doubting, which is tough a lot of times, and not let circumstances control you. Let's go to Psalm 123. This is a really cool verse that we probably all know pretty well, but it's just amazing to me. Psalm 123, and we're going to just read the whole chapter here. It's only four verses, so that's pretty quick and easy, right? verse 1 says, "Unto thee I lift I up mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of servants look unto the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of a maiden unto the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until that he have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us, O Lord, have mercy upon us. For we are exceedingly filled with contempt. Our soul is exceedingly filled with the scorning of those that are at ease and with the contempt of the proud." But the verse I'm really looking at here is verse 2. "Behold, the eyes of the servants look unto the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of the maiden unto the hand of their mistress. So our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until that he have mercy upon us." And we always need to remember that it's it's God that we need to look to. It's not the other way around, you know. He's not servant. We're our sons and daughters in this day and time as well. This is in the Old Testament, but it's also a life of service. And we don't tell God what to do. I think it was Michelle that talked about that they got so in detail with their prayers life about certain things that they realized they at one point they just needed to kind of just let God answer the what they needed the right way rather than saying, "I need this, this, and this," or "What if that's not the exact right way?" It was what she was getting at. Like, what if God's will is a little more this direction than what you're thinking? And we just have to let God supply the right answer for us rather than us tell him what to do for us, you know? let's go to 2 Kings chapter 3. God is so big, and he's so amazing, and he loves us. And he doesn't have to do everything that he does for us, but he does because he loves us. And he wants that relationship with us. This section is a really cool one. It's very interesting. So I'll give you a little background on what we're about to read here. So there is this king of Israel right now is Jehoram. And he's the son of Ahab, which was not a very good king. And he was a very bad king. And it says that he wasn't quite as bad as Jeroboam, which we know is a very, very, very bad king. but he was still did evil, it says, in the sight of the Lord. And the king of Moab at the time was starting a war up with these guys. And so Jehoram, the not-so-good king of Israel, went to the king of Judah, and that was Jehoshaphat at the time. And said, "Hey, I need you," and he gets the king of Edom as well. And he's like, "We need to fight these guys together." And so that's just a real quick, terrible cliff note of the whole thing. But let's pick it up in verse 13. Actually, let's look at 12. It says, "And Jehoshaphat said, 'The word of the Lord is with him.'" And they're talking about Elisha. "So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat and the king of Edom went down to him." And just look at the response of Elisha here. "Elisha said unto the king of Israel, 'What have I to do with thee? Get thee to the prophets of thy father and to the prophets of thy mother.' And the king of Israel said unto him, 'Nay, for the Lord hath called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab.' And Elisha said, 'As the Lord of hosts liveth before whom I stand, surely were it not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat.'" What a thing to say to a king. "The king of Judah. If it were not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, I would not look toward thee nor see thee. That's incredible to say that to a king, the king of Israel. But now bring me a minstrel. And it came to pass when the minstrel played that the hand of the Lord came upon him. And he said, thus saith the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. For thus, well, he just kind of gives them the answer of what to do here. We don't need to get into that too much. But the incredible thing that it either just threw Elisha off enough where he had to get peaceful or whatever it was. He said, get me someone to play me some music so I can get the right answer on this situation. He didn't just make something up and pull it out of his butt and just be like, oh, yeah, you need to go wash in the Jordan 7 times and then I'll talk to you or something like that. You know, it's like he got the right answer from God, which is the right thing to do. You have to wait for the right thing. You don't just make stuff up. And you gotta hear God on that stuff. Go ahead and flip over to Isaiah 26. There's so many incredible people throughout the Word of God that just waited patiently and received the answer that was needed from God. And, I mean, you think about Elijah at the brook. You know, he waited there. We don't know exactly how long, but between that space of time, it was, and when he was at the widow's house, it was like 3 years or 3.5 years, something like that. So even if it was like a year that he's sitting at this brook, like that would have been, that's a lot of time to sit there. And he's just watching it dry up. You know, your mind goes to these things like, should I drink less today and kind of conserve it a little more tomorrow? That's not what it talks about anything in there. It's like he just waited. He drank the water that's needed and then just followed God's orders. He waited until God gave him the next step. And sometimes, I think it's been said a couple times, I think God gets a kick out of just like down to the final line and being like, hey, here's the perfect answer for you, you know? And we're just, and then you think about David, you know? He, from the time he got ordained or anointed to be king, but Saul was still alive, how many years was that he had to wait until he actually fully became the king, you know? Or how about Jesus Christ after, you know, his crazy busy life, you know, like when he was going around taking care of people, healing them up and doing all the different things that he did. And then he goes away all night praying to God after that. I would pass out immediately if I was doing like 1% of that. And yeah, it's just incredible to see the walk that these men and women have throughout the word. Let's look at Isaiah 26, verse 3 here now, which says, thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. So keep your mind stayed on God. Let's keep that focus there. Let's look at chapter 40, verse 31. I know this is not one of those go-to verses, but it's really just so great. Chapter 40, verse 31 says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That's just incredible. If we just wait on God, if we just look to him and don't just make up BS. Not the body and soul, but, you know, the other one. let's look at James chapter 1. I know I got you flipping a lot, but I told you I'm going to try to keep it short and sweet here. Or hopefully it's sweet. James chapter 1, and we're going to look at verse 5 when we get there. Verse 5 says, if you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not. He's not just sitting there waiting to whack you. And it shall be given him, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So we don't doubt. We just trust God. We just look to him in every detail. And the more and more you do that, the more blessed your life will be. The better everything will be, just waiting for God, just looking for him and his answer in all the details of life. Let's go one more place. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 12. Should just be a page or so back there. Hebrews 12:1. Wherefore, seeing we are also We also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And, you know, just mentioning a few of those guys, that's already a cloud of witnesses right there just to think on, you know. Like, there's some incredible, incredible people throughout the Word. But let us run that race, or run with patience the race that's set before us. Because I know that's kind of a crazy thing to say, to be patient in the race, but like it does make sense when you think about it. And the more you are just patient and just wait for God, wait for that right answer, the better everything is, once again. So, be still and know that I am God. And, you know, whatever that takes, if it's go on a hike or just go sit down by yourself or just lay down for a bit, make that time for God. You know, just get quiet. Just spend time with God. Don't just go flip on the TV and call it a night all the time. You know, it's always good to make that extra special time to spend with our Father. And, you know, in 2020, let's just continue to try to make that more and more. Let's just walk with God more and wait for the right answers, and our lives will just be that much more blessed. So that's what I wanted to say. And our next teacher is a pretty incredible little cat. She is one of the main reasons that we have this Winter Advance so cohesive every year. She just works behind the scenes like crazy. She is just so good at event coordinating, which is her job as well, and she does that as well. Around town, she has done some huge events every year, and everybody's just always happy. You wouldn't even know she's there because she just is like making sure everything's done right behind the scenes. And she is an incredible mother of three crazy, muscular, wild boys. They're great kids. And so it's my privilege to introduce you to Mrs. Sarah Hale.